Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Truly I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because you and I both know that wherever Jesus is, there is heaven there. And the songwriter said, oh, glory, hallelujah. It's heaven to know that my sins are forgiven. On land or sea, no matter where Jesus is, I know there's heaven there. And Jesus said unto me and unto you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest for your weary souls. For he is the only way, he is the only truth, and he is the only life. Praise ye the Lord. And you know, God dwells in the midst of praises. Praises elevate raises. Raises in your life, raises in your physical health, raises in your mental capacity, raises in your spiritual walk, raises in your spiritual talk, raises in your environment, raises in your finances, raises in your relationships, raises in your career. God is just a God of perpetual and continual raises. And we know that all things through the way of promotion come from God. That's right. And the scripture tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will, that means it's predestinated, automatically delegated, will give us the desires of our heart. Then he also enlightens us and tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And let me tell you something. In this day and time, with all the instability and the anomalies that are coexisting in today's society, if we ever held that anchor of security, that time is here and now. And just praise God for him being omnipotent, means all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, because we serve a mighty, almighty God. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a almighty, and I would use the political correctivity, an almighty God we serve. And we know that his name is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Whether you know or realize or not, God possesses multiple personalities. He is Yahweh, which is the only way. Elohim, the Almighty Master. He is Abba, our Father. He is Jehovah, the God of life. Jehovah Jireh, the God of provision. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Nissi, our banner. Jehovah Tiskadu, our righteousness. Oh, he's everything and many things in so many ways. And his only begotten Son, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, is the mediator between us and God. And when we call on the name of Jesus, because as the songwriter said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. It's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Satan will have to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on his great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. And what a blessed assurance it is to know all of these things. They're relevant. They are reality. That's right. And they coexist in this modern day and time. Glory to his name. You tuned in to the Man of Speaking, where the power of God's presence emanates and the power of his presence motivates and the power of his word inspires and creates the miraculous tangibility of his greatness. And glory victorious day it is. A day that the Lord has made, that you and I must rejoice and be glad in it. It is Sunday. Yes, it is Sunday, the 18th day of the month of February. We're already 2 months in, and on next week, we're going into the third month. What are you trusting God for in this year of 2024? God is doing great and miraculous things. As I prophesied last year that this was going to be a year of miraculous interventions, miraculous things happening for the children of God, for the obedient, for the humble, for the loving, for the patient, and for the true and genuine children of the Most High God. And it is. Miracle after miracle is occurring, even as we speak now. And if you haven't received what you've been praying for, cast not away your confidence and have a great recompense of reward. Just a little while longer, as the psalmist said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Morning is about to take manifesto in your life. It's about to appear and show you the beauty of life and the wonderful gifts that God gives us and the very benefits of our servitude. It's coming. It's forthcoming. But be sure, be very sure to turn and give thanks unto the Lord for all of his greatness. Don't be as some that turn away and some that say, well, you know what? I got what I prayed for and I'm done. No, continue in your way of servitude and humility. Always, always resort to that attitude of gratitude, because it is of the Lord's mercy that we were not consumed, because his compassions failed us not, but they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness unto us. And we're thanking God today. We're thanking God for the true men and women of God. We're in designated places, and we occupy various spaces. We're in all walks of life, destined to various assignments that our Heavenly Father has destined us for at this time and at this season. And thank God for the men and the women of God who are not compromising, who are standing up and standing out. Whether the masses turn away in anger, it doesn't matter. We're putting the word out there. That's why we're speaking the truth, because this is not a day and time of compromise. This is a day and time to stand up, stand out, and be counted for. That's right, because men are seeking darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's right. So this is a period that we must stand up and be heard. That's right. And once we've stood, we've got to withstand. That's right. Everybody is not going to accept the truth. Everybody is not going to want to walk in the light of what is right. Men love darkness because rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And so many of these individuals have stood in the capacity of leadership and have led so many astray. If I were you, I'd recommend at this time that if you are such a leader as this, if your establishment is such in a way as this, adverse to the truth, You need to go back to the genesis of your origin. You need to repent and ask God for his forgiveness and to turn away from this self-proclaimed, self-infatuated, highfalutin philosophy that you have embedded in the hearts and in the minds of so many people. Because if you don't, this is a word of warning. I've spoken before, and God manifested everything that was spoken. You're going to face his wrath, because the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. But you know what? While you have life, while you have breath, you have an opportunity to get it right and get back on the course. Because listen, listen to this word of knowledge. Broad is the way, and wide is the path that leadeth to destruction, and many follow therein. But listen, straight is the way, and narrow is the path that leadeth to righteousness. But few are on that course. Few are on that path. It's time to get back to the originality of servitude, centering around God, acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God, acknowledging the embedding, the infiltration, and the working of the Holy Spirit, back to the working of miracles, back to signs and wonders following us, not us following signs and wonders, and Jesus Christ as Lord, as graduate teacher, as Messiah told us that signs and wonders will follow us. It's time to get back and get it right. There's so much going on, I can't tell you how many people have been communicating with me about what's going on in the religious sector. First of all, you need to understand this. God is not a religion. He is a reality. He is a spirit. And they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means acknowledgement of the scriptures, away from man-made philosophies and old wives' tales, coming back into the fold and acknowledging that his word is truth. And it guides us. It leads us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to get it back right. Take off that cosmopolitan presentation. Take off that cosmetic cover-up that so many have been reverting to as a way of drawing people in. That's right. Because Jesus said this, he that have not the Spirit of Christ, and you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't have the Spirit of God, is none of his. You can't buy your way in. You can't do good deeds to get in. You can't have a highly regarded name to get in. God is not persuaded and moved by those things, because the knowledge of this world is sensual. It appeases the flesh. It inflates and gives fortitude to the flesh. Only they who operate through the power of the Holy Spirit can indeed please God. Amen. It's the truth. It's tight, but it's right. It is time for us to get back into the business of leading men and women back to the truth. That's right. That's right. It's time to do it. God wants to do so many great and miraculous things in this society. But our doubt, our disbelief, our whoring about with the world, acknowledging them, worshiping man, committing acts and atrocities of the flesh, is what is hindering us from receiving it. But let me tell you something. I don't know about you, and I hope that you have laid aside every weight and even the sin. See, before a sin is a sin, a weight or an opportunity, a provision to fulfill carnality must be presented. Either you're going to accept or reject. And this is what's happening. People are giving into the flesh. And to be carnally minded, read the word, go into the book of Romans and feast upon the gospel according to Apostle Paul, to the Church of Rome. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and it's peace. That's right. And Jesus even warned us, love not the world nor the things that are in it. Because we know that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's right. But knowing that our Lord, our Savior, he said, I am the victory that overcometh the world and even your faith. It's time to get back to him and to take care of his business. And when we take care of the business of God, his affairs, he will make sure your affairs are being taken care of. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a loving mother of children. Praise ye the Lord for your soul's inspiration and your spiritual consideration. We have just read for you Psalms 113 from the King James Version. And what a mighty God we serve. Let me tell you something. Miracle after miracle has been happening for those who are walking the walk as they're talking the talk. And let me tell you, he's continuing on in that path to perform the impossible for us. Because, see, through him and with him, all things are made possible. When we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God. It hasn't changed. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. And he's adding blessings. He's adding benefits, healing, physical healing, psychological enrichment and enhancement, revitalizing the joy, providing the peace, making a way financially out of no way. He's doing it. He's doing it. All of their high places, he's bringing down so that his children can walk into that land that floweth with milk and honey and claim that which God has destined for them. And here is the time that we need to go forth and go on and do his work. Amen. I thank God for those of you who have tuned in to the man of speaking. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're here in the continental U.S. of A., Canada, South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, and even Antarctica, where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is indeed liberty there. I would like for you to go with me to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book of origins. And we're going to begin our biblical instruction. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you touch every mind, every heart, every thought of those who have tuned in today to receive your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, and that you would open up the spiritual eyes of their understanding, that they may ingest the power and the instruction of your word. Should there be any affliction within their bodies, within their environment, we're asking that you be Jehovah Rapha and heal them and make them whole. Should there be any lack or limitation in their provisions, we're asking that you become Jehovah Jireh for them and that you provide a way out of no way. Should there be those who are not feeling comfortable and at peace within themselves, we're asking that you become Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. We're asking that you would be a partner, a companion, a legal representative, a counselor to all they that are in need, Father God. But we know that you love us and that you want the best for us in this life. You said through the witness of Apostle Paul, in which he spake, he said, "Beloved, I would that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as thy soul doth prosper." And we're receiving the blessing of Abraham. We're receiving the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we thank you. Amen. 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, the book of origins. And let us read together. And it came to pass after these things that God did what? And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, "Behold, I am here." That's right. God is the great I am. He is the I am. He always is. He always was. And he will continue to be. He is eternal. He is not a building. He is not an organization. He is not a physical embodied person. He is a spirit, an eternal sovereign spirit, the creator of all things, both great and small. He is God. He holds the seal of mastery to perform all of these wondrous works. Second verse. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up. Now Abraham is no longer Abram. He's Abraham, the father of the multitude, the father of humanity. He rose up early in the morning and saddled ass, or his horse, that's right, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and claimed the wood for the burnt offering. That means he actually cut and trimmed the wood for his offering. And he rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. That means he didn't question God. He got up and he started to move. He started to move in the way and the direction in which God told him. When God tells us something, listen to this. I don't care if an angel comes, if a family member comes, if a mate comes, if a child comes, if a coworker comes and tells you to go to the other direction, you do not go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Fourth verse, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. That means in 3 days of traveling, he saw the location in which God intended for him to go. Fifth verse, and Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here," that means stay here with the ass or the horse, "and I and the lad," that means his son, Isaac, "will go yonder and worship and come again to you." I mean, you stay right here, and then we will return back unto you. Here's the sixth verse. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. That means he was prepared to do what God told him to do. Are you prepared to make the sacrifice in which God requires of you? Are you? Ask yourself that and be real about it. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. That means he took his son with him. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" So this child is looking at the fire. He sees the knife and he sees the wood in which the stake is present, which is going to be like a symbolic altar, and saying, "But where is the lamb in which you're going to prepare for the offering?" This child had enough acknowledgement to know that there was something quite different with this circumstance. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. So he said, God is going to make a way for us. He says, we're just going to follow his voice. See, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. So he's going about his path being obedient. He didn't question God, saying, God, why do you want me to offer my son? Why? He just stepped out in faith, and he knew that God had his best interest in mind. I'm going to ask you today, do you know whether or not God has your best interest in mind? I have come to know he does, because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And here we go. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. He assures his son that. He's standing on the word of God. And the word of God was not even written in tablet form. It was etched in his heart, and he heard the voice of God, and so he obeyed. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac's son. That means he took his son upon the wood, as I indicated to you previously. That wood was providing as an altar-type setting, and said, I am preparing to do what God told me to do. And Isaac, his son, he laid him upon the wood. Now, you know, as a parent, being summoned by God and being told that you're going to have to offer your son, you know, this is something that he probably within his heart was wondering, why my son? I finally had a son by my wife, Sarah, my legal wife, and now I'm being asked to offer him, but he still did not stammer. He still did not any degree or distrust. That's right, or procrastination. He moved right there because he knew God had something in the plan. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. That means he was going to go through with it. He didn't understand it. He possessed what was called blind faith. He totally trusted God despite the circumstance, despite what he deemed as a credible outcome. He trusted God. Sometimes in this life, I know I'm a testimony, you have to have blind faith. You can't allow anything to come in the way of your servitude and your obedience to God. Sometimes you have to become defiant. You have to walk away from people. You have to walk away from establishments. You have to eradicate various organizations and connections that you have in order to do the will of God. Sometimes you've got to etch it out and begin from scratch to please God. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He didn't say, what do you want? He said, here am I. That means I'm available. I'm listening. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. That means don't hurt him. Neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. You put God first. See, when you put God first, everything else has to fall thereafter. Because God said, thou will have no other God before me. That means careers, spouses, monetary assets, recognition. You have nothing before him because he is a jealous God, and he can cause those things to be removed from you, or you remove from them, and everything around you to liquidate or evaporate because he's the Almighty. He said, for thou, I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. He said, you're willing to sacrifice your son to please God. You made a statement without saying a word. See, the biggest statement sometimes that you can make in proving who you are in the Lord is to be silent and let your deeds, let your actions solidify your level of faith and trust in the Almighty. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. That means he was in a tangled bush by his horns. How convenient was that? And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That means he took the ram and placed it on the altar and offered it up to God. See, at this time, see, Jesus Christ became our sacrifice. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. No blood offering is required anymore. When we sin, when we fall short, we have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And through his blood sacrifice, his obedience, God has mercy upon us, because when he looks upon us, he sees us through the eyes of his only begotten Son. And we are joint heirs to the throne. He sees us through him. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord provided a way out and a sacrifice. He provided that which is called a much needed provision with a sense of urgency. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. See, what, can't nobody curse what God blesses. Let them sit back and hate on you. Let them lie. Let them backstab. Let them sabotage. They're going to be caught up in their own schemes, those people who don't wish you well, those who want to see your downfall. You know what David said in the 23rd Psalm? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. God will bless you in the midst of their mess, and he'll show them who he is and who you are in him. It doesn't get any better than that. That what? In blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That means that though, because of your obedience and your diligence, you will be blessed to be a blessing, and others will look to you for inspiration. I will expand your territory. I will elevate your horizon. I will make you a standard in which others will be asked to follow. That's right. And your children will even inherit this gift through you and because of you. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That means through you, through your diligence, through your obedience, all of the predecessors and those who come after you, even the ancestors of those who are to come in future generations, will be touched, will be empowered, will be favored, will be blessed, will multiply, will have, will do that which is unseemly to mankind, because you are indeed a true friend of God. Amen. He said, and thou obey my voice. See, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the stranger they won't follow. So when we follow the voice of God, we're following the voice of Jesus Christ. And the heavenly host and all they that are present and prevalent are on our side. And God before us, he is more than the world against us. Nobody can stand. Nobody can come against, because he is the Almighty. So what happened? So Abraham returned unto his young men, that means the men that accompanied him, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. He went and took lodging in that city. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, said Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazel, and Hildash, and Jilab, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah, These eight, Milcah, did hear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Rumah. She bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Tahash, and Maasha. So the cycle is perpetuating. The blessings are coming. Even his family members are being blessed because this man obeyed God. See, blessings become infectious. They become contagious because the very energy, the very frequency of the presence of God that emanates within you incorporates and recruits others to receive his greatness. And this is why it's so important that we remain humble, that we remain steadfast. Now, many of us, we went through things, financial challenges, immense financial challenges. We had no idea how we were going to be, delivered or brought out. And God brought us out. We ought to turn back and show him thanks by being a blessing and helping others. So many of us have been healed in our bodies. Turn back, give thanks unto God, because he did it out of his loving kindness and tender mercy. So many of us have had our families blessed and delivered. We ought to turn back and give thanks on their behalf unto God for their deliverance. Anytime God delivers those around us, we need to go as being the beacon of light and give thanks unto the Lord on their behalf, because some people don't know how to go into the very essence of the presence of God, but we know as being watchers, as being teachers, as being guides to others. We know, and so therefore we need to follow that path and remain connected, because we're on the first line of defense, and therefore we're on the first line to be blessed. Bless me to be a perpetual blessing. That's always been my prayer, and God has done it, and I thank him for it. And the more that he gives, the more that I can give. The more he does for me, the more I can do for others. And I praise God, we got this treasure in an earthen vessel. And let us be thankful unto the Lord and give him all of our servitude and our gratitude. And we won't get caught up into the mess that's in this today's society, that we'll see people clean up or else they'll be cleared out, because God is getting tired of this indiligence and this man-made servitude. So many falling by the wayside, idolatrous worship. You have a chance. Repent and cleanse yourself according to the word. That's right. And become whole and come back into the fold and get back on task and get back busy and get back into your assignment. What a wonderful time of fellowship and worship we've had today. We're coming back with you again on next week. And listen, have a glorious and victorious spirit-filled week. And all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we're going to be coming this week with a surprise. Many of you have been asking me, when are you going to come back with your talk show? Let me tell you something. Something is in the making. We're going to give a preemptive announcement so you guys can tune in and be turned on to things that are current within the world. Because we are to know what's going on in the world, but we're not to love it. But we need to be informed so that we can help inform others. Have a glorious and victorious spirit-filled week, and let the miraculous hand of God continue to work on your behalf. You've got your host with the most, from coast to coast, the Esquire, Evie A. Phelps, saying, in all things give thanks unto God, for it is his will that you prosper in all things and live a life of greatness and abundance. And also know this, nevertheless, God is with you, because he loves you beyond all of your levels of expectations, more than any words could even explain. This is Abby A. Phelps saying, enjoy your week, and we'll be seeing you again real soon.